Hey, this is Shikamaru Nara. You're listening to the Shonen Tapes. Oh, you're not subscribed yet? What a drag.
This is the Dragon Ball Rankings tape.
Featuring Black Bulma. I don't know why he does that. Just ignore that. It's just a thing he does. It's just a thing he does.
The evil laugh, I always got to do it. You know what I'm saying? Like channeling Frieza. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, no.
You wanted us to relate to that for some reason.
he does that a lot. He says some off the wall stuff and just assumes we'll know what he's talking about. And he'll be like, you know what I mean? And I'm like, no, I don't. I have no idea what you're talking about, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, awesome. Cool. Well, welcome, Tapeworms. As you see, we have a special guest joins with us today. She is very active on Instagram. Is Instagram the main place that you post your content?
Yeah, Instagram is really like the main, like my main like hub. But I'm on all socials, but a lot of people notably know me from Instagram. So
yeah, you have a pretty decent following on Instagram. And discovered you one time, I think, was just cruising across the lives, and you were talking about Dragon Ball, and I can tell you really knew your stuff too. So I was like, wow, this is mad interesting. And so you basically post a bunch of different stuff. You give news on Dragon Ball content, and then also go live, give your opinions, and it's kind of like a mixture of both. Do I have that right?
Yep, that is a perfect description of what I do. Yes,
I love it. I love it. Yeah, it's really cool. So Sean and I we've been doing this thing lately, because we always do episodes on the Shonen Tapes here where we basically try to do rankings, and we say, okay, name your five favorite, name my five favorite. And then at the end, we're like, but like, which ones are the best? And we do it for all these different types of shows. And so lately we've been trying to get like a definitive ranking. So we figured who better to join us for that than somebody like yourself. It's always great getting like a little third option here, and then throughout that we'll also learn a little bit more about you and your content. But for those of y'all, if this is your first time tuning in and you saw us from, you know, hopefully like a shout out from Black Bulma, we are the Shonen Tapes. My name is Kevin. I'm joined by my co-host Sean Shonen Pants. That's his actual
the
name.
Bald one.
And he's bald. He's bald. He loves to talk about it. Actually, I love to talk about it.
Yo, I love being bald, son. Not everyone can have the hair like you, dog. Not everybody can, you know?
Yeah,
not everyone can do it.
I gotta enjoy it while it lasts. You know what I'm saying? So we're gonna be ranking Dragon Ball characters to kind of start off. And usually we like to start these episodes by kind of getting a better idea of, you know, where you reside and amongst like opinions. So we like to do a little fast round.
Okay.
Before we do that too, I do want to apologize for jumping on a few minutes late. And the reason I'm bringing it up on the podcast, I know it's something I could have just ignored, is because if you look closely here, I was trying to trim and I missed. And so it was a few minutes before I was like, you know what? Let me do a quick little trim. And I was like, and the thing fell off. And I was like, oh my God. And I was staring at myself in the mirror. So I'm making fun of myself before any of the viewers can. And I'm going to talk angled like this for the most of the episode. You guys wondering?
Well, I get it. You don't hit them with the angles a little bit, you know.
You know what I'm saying? They're not gonna know.
You're looking like '90s like, rock, like, you know what I'm saying, people's elbow.
All right, all right. So we're gonna go ahead and take turns here asking the questions. Okay. Sean, you wanna start us off?
Yes. Future Trunks or Gohan?
Gohan.
Attack on Titan or Jujutsu Kaisen?
Attack on Titan.
Dragon Ball Z or Naruto?
He's going to skip a question, Sean. Sean wrote that question. Okay. Goku or Vegeta?
Goku.
Frieza Saga or Cell Saga?
Cell Saga.
Dragon Ball GT or watching paint dry?
Dragon Ball GT. y'all not going to compare that to paint dry.
I'm joking. I wanted to see your reaction. I see how you get on live sometimes, so I wanted to kind of test that out a little bit here. Realistically, though, Dragon Ball GT or Dragon Ball Heroes?
Super Dragon Ball Heroes is really good, but I think I'm going to stick with GT.
All right. So we're going to talk about GT a little bit. Sean?
All right. We got a hip hop question. Eminem or Wayne?
Wayne.
Okay. I like that answer.
Kendrick or J. Cole?
J. Cole, all the way.
Nice.
Russ or Wale?
Wale. Yeah.
Okay.
New school. I turned my head around. New school anime or old school?
Old school. Always old school for me.
Always old school. Sean, do you want to do your patented?
Right, I asked this question of every person we interviewed.
Okay.
Does Frieza sound like Whoopi Goldberg?
Nah, we're not doing that. Wait, Frieza?
Yeah, you got to think about like the Frieza in like the 90s, you know what I'm saying? Or like late 90s, that voice actor.
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
I don't hear it. Whoopi has more of a raspy. Frieza has more of a high pitch. I'm hearing it in my head, but no, I don't hear it. I don't hear it.
I'm just saying, whenever you want to, you know, turn on The View, listen to Whoopi Goldberg.
I am. I get off of here, I'm definitely going to touch that. I have a pretty good memory of what Whoopi Goldberg sounds like, but I got to listen to like a side by side, so I'm going to test it.
Okay.
He insists on the question. I'm like, brother, no one's going to say yes. Has anybody said yes to that, Sean?
Yeah, Monte said yes, remember?
He was just being nice.
It was either Ozzy or Monte that said yes.
They're wrong. And so are you. Okay. All right, cool. Well, let's jump into the episode a little bit. I guess before we do, I'd like to learn a little bit more about you and your content also. Like, what got you into content creation? Was it by accident, or like where you just started posting? Or was it kind of more of a planned thing?
No, it was never planned. Me being a content creator was always an accidental thing. I kind of made it off of just... so it was kind of like a chain reaction of things. So I went on like this weight loss journey. And when I was going through my weight loss journey, like I lost a whole lot of weight and it made me get like a lot more attention. And when I was getting like a whole bunch of followers and stuff, I will also post about anime. So then I found out a lot of people like anime who are following me. So while I was posting my weight loss updates, I was also talking about anime, and people just gradually attracted to me talking about anime. But then I started, you know, talking about Dragon Ball Z a lot, and that is kind of like what sparked a lot of people to kind of want to, you know, talk to me and stuff. So then one of my friends was like, oh, you should definitely go on Twitter and tell people like your opinions. And when I went on Twitter, like, yeah, it was a little bit toxic, but I think I got pretty much known on Twitter from my crazy takes talking about Goku and things like that. And then it gradually went to Facebook. And then I was like, one of my friends, he was like, yeah, like you should make a brand out of this. And I'm just like, I just do it for kicks and giggles. Like, you know what I'm saying? I'm not trying to. But then I was just like seeing other pages and people posting content and getting all this attention. I was like, all right, well, let me just, you know, make a little brand out of it. So I decided to go with, of course, Black Bulma, because I'm black and I love Bulma so much. And then just kind of, if I can just like zoom it instead of, you know, doing a whole history, it's just kind of the fast forward. It was like, I kind of just got known for the girl who loves Goku and talking about Dragon Ball pretty much. And that's like, you know, it was very accidental. It was like a little hobby. And now it's like my whole life now. I literally don't go one day without making content or just interacting with my followers and just talking about Dragon Ball. So yeah, it's pretty much my origin story, the lore of Black Bulma.
That's amazing. And congrats on your journey too.
Thank you.
I guess a follow-up to that specifically is like, I'm looking at your Twitter, not your Twitter, your Instagram. And the graphics look really good. Like, you know, 6 years a day, we were introduced to one of the sickest Kamehameha waves. You got the different colored font. You have the pictures in the background. It looks so clean. And I feel like that's probably a decent reason why people are attracted to your page. You know, it looks very professional and well put together. Do you have help to do that? Or is that something you do by yourself?
Well, number one, thank you for the compliment. That yeah. number one, that started from a lot of trial and error, trying to get the layout of how I want my content to look. So the thing with me is that I'm a very organizational person. I like things nice and neat, professional, and very eye-catching. So when it came to my content, I wanted to implement that as well as like just making sure, like, I want my content to be something that catches your eye when you're scrolling down your Instagram. So, and I also wanted to be something that if you saw my post, you knew it belonged to me without even needing to read it because the layout. So if you ever look on my Instagram, you'll see every single post has the same layout, the same wording, same color, same logo, and everything because, you know, I wanted it to be look nice, professionally done. So that way, when you look on a grand scale yeah. page, you can see what's going on. So, in the answer to your second part of the question, which I do get asked a lot, but I do 100% of everything all by myself.
Wow.
I
get
editing, it's really good.
All the posting, my website, yeah. managing all my social medias. It's a solo dolo.
Yeah. That's fire.
That's amazing. It. Like yeah. when Kevin told me that, like, he was like, oh yeah, we got Black Bomo, we're going to interviewer, and I was just like, yo, I be posting her stuff all the time on, like, on my Instagram, on the Shonen Takes Instagram. I'm just like, yo, that was a huge get, you know, because like, you just have like such like thoughtful and insightful just thoughts on Dragon Ball, Super, Dragon Ball Z, OG Dragon Ball. So I was just like, yo, this is about to be a hype episode.
Just because a lot of people will be wanting to do like podcasts. I have so much fun, but it's like, it's always they always tell me, it's like, I didn't even know you would come on. Like, you're just like a huge person. I'm like, listen, like, I love talking to the people. I know y'all know other content creators who kind of distance themselves from the normal people, but me, I want to be in a mix. Let me hang out with y'all. Let me talk to y'all. I know the numbers might be big, but trust me, I'm just as much of a nerd. I love talking about the stuff. So if you want me to bring me on and talk and just chit chat, I'm definitely for it. So yeah.
No, that's fire. It's, and you never know unless you ask too. I don't know if you've ever heard our intro of our podcast, but it's Shikamaru Nara, and it's the actual voice actor. Oh. And he's just like, you're listening to the Shonen Tapes. You're not subscribed yet. What a drag. And it was just something where we didn't really have to go out of the way. We just kind of like shot our shot and asked him, and he went for it. And it's so cool because now that's somebody we also follow online, and he's also super down to earth. And I think that's why I also think that helps kind of you relate to your audience a little more because you're, you know, more so accessible, down to earth, and kind of feels like when I watch your lives, it feels like I'm just kind of chilling with somebody, right? Like not something superficial, serious, where it's just some celebrity, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's what I try not to make myself appear as. Even though I know it's like it's a lot of people that want to talk to me, I try my best to find avenues where people can have some sort of access to me. Like if they want to talk to me, you know what I mean, and tell me their Dragon Ball theories or just simply just, you know, like that's why I made an entire Discord to, you know, let people come and talk to me if they want to. Or I've had people come and, you know, tell me these crazy theories that they brought up or just sit and talk and chat with me. And we have movie nights and stuff like that. So it's like I try to be like more interpersonal with people than to just be someone who just posts and go away. You know what I mean?
You know,
some people already kind of accept that with certain creators. It's just like I feel like I'm not really... I like to connect and see like what people think and you know what they think as well as what I think. So I think this is like a really great dynamic. So
that's fine.
Okay, that's awesome. So was the Twitter toxic experience like back in the day or was it like now, like currently?
I don't know if y'all are on Twitter.
And we're on Twitter.
Now or X.
X.
But Dragon Ball, Twitter is already toxic. I'm going to call it Twitter. I'm sorry, I ain't calling it X.
No, me too. I still call it Twitter.
But Twitter is already toxic itself. But Dragon Ball Twitter is a battleground that I just sit and spectate. I don't really try to engage with it. Sometimes I used to make toxic posts just so I can get the engagement and stuff like that. And now I just kind of... I'm kind of subtle because I really don't have to do that anymore in order to try to get engagement. But the toxicity still happens today. It's still everybody debating. Everybody wants to be popular. Everybody wants to be like the top a Dragon Ball person. So that's why it's kind of like, you know, like, I mean, Twitter's going to be Twitter. That's why I just kind of posting. Twitter is one where I really don't engage that much because it can be extremely toxic depending on what you post, what you say, how you say it, when you say it. So yeah, Twitter's like Twitter would be my probably least favorite app that I make content or not even make content because I kind of just write my thoughts on there, to be honest. So
It was really sad for me to see because I'm such a big Twitter fan. I was. And now it's like, you know, you got all these blue check marks and now the top posts and comments aren't even about the original tweet, post, whatever. It's just them trying to like make money. And it's just this really nasty place now, unfortunately.
It used to be like a haven of positivity, but now it's just, it's very competitive. That's another word. Very competitive. It's always who's going to do what first, who's going to leak this first, who's going to, you know, it's just, I don't know, Twitter is just its own universe that sometimes I don't even want to be a part of. So
we're with you. So to kind of pivot a little bit and go into the topic of the episode, if we were to kind of like put our heads together and decide on the five best characters, and it could be throughout Dragon Ball all the way to GT or Super, even Heroes if for some reason you want to pick something from Heroes. I think we can probably all agree Goku and Vegeta make the cut. I think it's the next three that kind of have our discussion a little bit. So do you want to like suggest one character that belongs in this top five and then see if we like
throughout the entire world of Dragon Ball?
You're putting your stamp on this. No pressure.
I want to kind of say Frieza, even though I'm not a big fan of Frieza. I think Frieza, when you think about Dragon Ball, you think about Frieza. You think about Goku, but you also think about Frieza. So I want to put Frieza as like my, even though I'm not a huge fan of Frieza, I'm going to be honest with you. So I'll definitely say Frieza.
No, you're good. You know what I'm saying? We'll take it slow here.
Okay.
Absolutely. That like Frieza, that's one I was gonna put too, and I thought that's something I was gonna have to convince you guys about. So I'm kind of happy you and I are on the same page here.
Yeah.
Does Sean agree?
So this is the number three spot, right? We're saying the number three spot, right?
No. We're saying it's top five. We're not ranking him yet. We're just deciding who's in the top five first. It's just obvious.
Right, who's in the top five? Yeah. Okay.
Would you put Frieza in there, Sean? Or would it be Goldberg, as you would call
him? I'd put Whoopi on there. Now. I'll put Frieza on there. I'll put Frieza.
Saying that? Are you just doing that thing? Where you're being agreeable? Not the
because I thought we were already like ranking in the spots. You know what I'm saying? But like in a top five, obviously, Frieza's definitely in there. It's not the first name I would think of. You know, before you know.
One thing you got to know about Sean and I is we're total opposites. He calls me contentious, Kevin. Mm-hmm. I sit there and I argue with everything. He's the exact opposite. Well, he was just the most like agreeable person. Like I'll be like, oh, this show sucks. Like, you know, the dialogue was bad. And I'll be like, yeah, but like I think it was like meant to be bad. Like that was the point of the show. And I'm like, the point of the creators. And I'm just like, dude, no, it wasn't.
Sometimes they take some artistic liberties. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes that's just how it happens, bro.
You see this look at the art. He'll smile. He'll be like, I'm really angry right now.
Oh my God.
Look, man, I'm just, yo, sometimes you just gotta be happy, though. I'm just a happy guy, you know?
No, that's all I'm saying.
I'm saying, like, look, Frieza's not the first person I would put on the list. Gohan.
Okay, so be real.
Person I put on the list, son.
Well, listen, do you think Frieza makes the top five, though? That's what I want to hear.
No. What? Okay.
No.
Right, so we'll talk about it. We'll put a pin in Frieza. You got two out of three. You might get outvoted, but I want to kind of all be in unison for the top five. So we'll put a pin in it, and we'll return back to Frieza.
Mm.
Does that work?
That sounds good to me.
She's like, why not Frieza? I think Frieza. No, I,
Okay, we talk about we'll it talk now. About. I mean, the reason I want to put a pin in it is so I want to get to a point where we have a bunch of suggestions and then we can compare them against each other. Because right now, I see you want to compare Frieza to Gohan, and you don't know how we feel about having Gohan in the top five or not, right?
I already know you don't want him on the top five.
Hey man, I didn't say nothing. Don't be assuming.
We'll talk about it later. Let's keep going.
Okay.
Well, you said you had some crazy Goku takes. Did I hear that right?
Yeah, it's not even like they're crazy Goku takes. It's just actually, it's not even crazy. It's just me, not even doing the opposite, but just defending a lot of stuff that Goku's accused of. Right?
Mm-hmm. Can we get some examples?
The number one is obviously the most, you know, iconic thing that accused Goku of is being a bad father. The second one is the Senshu Bean thing, which is tied to him being a bad father. The third one was people saying that he was the initiator of the Tournament of Power, which doesn't make no sense because if you paid attention, he wasn't. So it was like, it's not even like the crazy takes. It's just people are not used to, number one, a woman defending Goku. And number one, him being my favorite, it's like, people's like, what is she talking about? Like, you know what I mean? So a lot of the times I'm debating people about why Goku gave Cell a Senshu Bean. So people think it's like a crazy take. So it kind of stirs the pot a little bit. Like when I talk about like those things that Goku always gets accused of and him being like super dumb. And I just recently made a post saying like,
yeah,
I mean, I don't know how people feel about it, but I just feel like as someone who's watched OG Dragon Ball all the way up to Super, even in a manga, I don't see how people are saying Goku got like number in Super, but I kind of see how certain people are saying like there's certain moments where he was just very ignorant, he should have knew this, and I get it, but it's just I didn't really see no difference in how Goku was in Z to how he was in Super. He's always just been that same witty, ignorant, goofy guy.
Yeah. I mean, to kind of touch on that a little bit, I feel like they like actively tried to make him a little dumber in Super because, you know, there was all those scenes with Beerus where he's like, oh, sir, lord, lordy, sir. And he was just like kind of acting like a goof. Whereas in Dragon Ball Z, he was on his Superman bullcrap where he's like, I'm the protector of the universe. I'm the darkness. I'm the, you know, like all that weird speech he made to Frieza. So I feel like people kind of like compare those two. But to your credit, yeah, he was kind of dumb in Z too. But
it's like they compare the serious moments in Z to like what you said, like when he's like super goofy with Beerus, you know, calling him all the names. Like you can't come because I can compare him cussing Jiren out for hitting his friends to him cussing Frieza out. That him doing that the same, well, you know, don't touch my friends type of something. I don't forget the speech, but
yeah, the moment.
Yeah, that was like a serious moment. Like that, them eyes. You can't tell me that wasn't even more serious than what he did against Frieza, but you know what I mean? It's just like comparing all the serious moments in Z to when Goku, he was so serious against Frieza, but in Super, he didn't even know what a kiss was. I'm like, it's a comedic relief moment. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. I definitely think that it's trendy in the anime fandom to hate on Goku right now. You know what I'm saying? Because like,
yes.
He was pretty goofy in Dragon Ball Z too, like equally as serious, and also in Super, like he's been very serious in Super. And honestly, I think there's a lot of times where Goku, there's like more dimensions to him in Dragon Ball Super, which I feel like people are missing. You know,
I agree with that. I mean, I think overall he's had more serious moments in Dragon Ball Z than he has had in Super. And I think that's why people try to make the comparison that he's like more like dumber and goofier in Super, but he still has had his fair share. I personally like his character much better in Super. I don't know how you guys feel about it, but I love where they took him as just a dude who wants to fight rather than just some fake Superman. You know?
No, I actually agree with that. I love how Goku's ideologies in Super. I love the intensity of the arcs in Z, but you gotta understand, like, there's certain times of peace. Like, even in Battle of Gods, that was still, even with Beerus threatening the Earth, that was still a time of peace. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Active, like, elongated threat who came in, who kept trying to destroy everything. You know what I mean? Like, it was just Beerus wanting to find a Super Saiyan God. So, that's what I mentioned in my reel where I was telling people, like, it's the tone of the arcs compared to from Super to Z.
Because
if you really think of certain arcs, like, the Tournament of Power only happened because the Zenos were impressed by the tournament they had with Universe 6 and 7. It wasn't, like, something that needed to happen. Like, it was just an accident because they were entertained because they're children by these fighters fighting. It was, you know what I mean? So it wasn't really, like, as intense. So you're not going to get as intense moments, even though, obviously, they're all fighting for their lives. But, you know, there was moments. There was definitely certain moments in the Goku Black arc and, you know, Resurrection F and things like that. So, I mean, I don't know. It's just some people... I have this thing where I feel like some people are still, they're still in Z. They don't, you know, they still live in that era. So, yeah.
Super needs its flowers. It's so fantastic. And I get so irritated by people like that try to make the argument of, you know, you only like Dragon Ball Z because of nostalgia. Because, like, I even you know, thought that sometimes here and there when they try to say Z is better than all this other new anime. But, you know, Z does, you know, it made sense for its time, but what really backs up the Dragon Ball series as a whole, in my opinion, is Super and how well Super keeps up with it. Like, Goku Black was one of my favorite arcs of the entirety, not just Super, but Dragon Ball Z included. Like, for me, it's in my top three arcs. Like, I got Frieza arc, like, you know, the whole Namekian thing, and then probably the Goku Black stuff. Like, I really enjoyed it.
Yes, I enjoyed it as well. Those arcs were really good. But it's just, no, people are going to nitpick. One thing I tend to find about Dragon Ball fans are everything has to be perfect. Like, everything has to be on spot. You can't mess up. I don't know if you guys are reading the Dragon Ball Super manga, but I always make an example of this where and this is as of recently, people went on a tirant about Toyotaro drawing Gohan's eyes incorrectly. He forgot his pupils. And I was in, like, Facebook groups where people were like, oh, no, that just means that Gohan, you know, has two versions of his Gohan in his beast form. And, you know, that was his omen form. And I'm like, what are you talking? And then Toyotaro comes out. And he just literally says, yeah, I forgot. I'm sorry, y'all. I'm not perfect. I gotta draw 45 damn pages every month for y'all. I have to draw 45 pages for y'all every month. I'm so sorry. I forgot the damn pupils. Like, this is why. Where it's just like the Dragon Ball fans nitpick. I didn't even notice that until someone pointed it out. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, and I just enjoyed the chapter because it involved, you know, Goku and Gohan. You know, sparring with their, you know, strongest transformations. I didn't give a fuck. I'm sorry if, you know. I didn't care about the people missing. So it's just like perfection is really like what a lot of Dragon Ball fans kind of, you know, want so bad that if they don't get it, it's just everything's ruined. Everything's done, you know. So, yeah, that's pretty much it.
So go ahead, Chuck.
Yeah, I just think that, you know, Dragon Ball has been around for so long that people are just like, you know, they're like, this is my thing, you know, say, even though it's all of our thing, you know, they get a little toxic about it.
For sure.
I had one question, though. Mm-hmm. When was how old were you when you realized, you know, like, I love this show?
Oh, that had to be like, because it was airing in, what, like the early 2000s, I believe. Had to be like, maybe 7, 8, I don't know, 9.
You're a Toonami girl?
Yeah, Toonami. It's around that Toonami. If y'all was watching Toonami, then y'all know. It was like,
yeah, exactly.
Watching it, Goku going, you know, Super Saiyan type of thing. So I would probably say, like, you know, grade school age, you know, 10, 9, 10, 11, kind of just going home and just watching it. Because I still remember in my mind just a blip of, that moment when Goku going Super Saiyan, and I always tell people, like, it's only a select, and I'm not saying small, but there's only a select few people who are walking this earth, especially when Dragon Ball was introduced in the West, who got to see Goku go Super Saiyan for the first time in history.
Yep.
I'm not talking about going on Funimation.
No.
I'm talking about when no one even knew who it was. I am one of the people, and of course a couple other millennials or even boomers or whoever was watching it, sat and watched Dragon Ball and saw Krillin die and saw this man just screaming. Like, I remember the feeling. So mm-hmm. I'm glad to be like one of those people who got to experience something like that. So like I said, it'll probably be around grade school age when I ended up loving the series and growing up with it.
Yeah. Same with us. It feels like we definitely were all the same time frame watching Toonami with those sick vintages where they'd be like the Tree of Might and you'd see Tom talking and showing all these cool edits, the cool music. Uh-huh. Toonami shaped the whole generation, I swear.
Toonami was really everyone's childhood. Like it's just the commentary, everything was just perfect back then. So yeah.
So let's pivot back to the episode real quick. Mm-hmm. I'm going to suggest a character, and I will say Future Trunks to be in our top five. How do you guys feel about that? And just like what you said about Frieza, he's not one of my favorites, but I feel like there's an argument for him to be in the top five.
I probably don't agree with that, only because one thing about Future Trunks is he was only important in the beginning. Yeah. Like I feel like it, like if I was someone who were to critique the Cell Saga or even the Android Saga, was like Trunks was built up to be this person where you thought he was going to be the one to end the saga, but it really it shifted so bad that Trunks became so irrelevant. He was just somebody who was screaming at his dad and he was just a background character. Mm-hmm. His only significance was again stopping Frieza, and then everything's a blur. But you know, he trained with Vegeta and gave Goku the medicine, and then Gohan took over, and the whole thing became about Gohan, and Trunks was just standing there on the side. He didn't even fight. So it's like, I don't think I can agree with that.
While I agree with what you're saying, what I will say is it is because of him that Goku survived in the first place. So he did make that huge save, and it was Goku who helped Gohan to beat Frieza. So without Trunks, none of that happens. But the reason I was saying that was more so because I feel like he's like everyone's favorite. Like for like the majority of people that you talk to that is a fan of Dragon Ball, they put Trunks up there. Like he's one of the most mentioned mm-hmm. people. It's obviously like him, Vegeta, Goku, and then like probably like Gohan is what I hear the most. So I think that's one of the reasons I was kind of thinking about him. I'm thinking of his impact, his character overall, not really much how much impact he had on the story, because at the end of the day, you're right, he was just screaming at his dad.
Because Trunks was, if I can, of course, correct me if I'm wrong, I think Trunks is one of the very first people to just like solo an antagonist.
Yeah. He's
one of the very first people to just one shot, literally. Yep. So. Yep. Okay. I don't know.
Maybe. We'll put a pin in it. We're going to put a pin in it. Sean, how do you feel about this?
Yeah, I'm gonna say yes to Trunks. That's one of my personal favorites. But I get the, you know, the argument where it's like he was built up in a way where you're like, okay, he's gonna actually defeat the big bad, and then he doesn't. I feel like that's kind of a trend a little bit in the Dragon Ball series as a whole. But yeah, but Trunks, like without Trunks coming back to the past. Mm-hmm. You don't really have that, you know, a lot of these big moments in the series. So, I'm going to give it to Trunks.
I agree.
You asked a question, too. You said, I don't know if y'all are reading the manga. And it's funny. It was actually 2 days ago. I was sitting there, and I got yet another thing spoiled for me. And I've been staying away from the manga as hard as I can, but I've had the Vegeta stuff spoiled for me. I've had just so much. And I'm at the point now where I'm like, you know what? I can't get away from it. And it's either I get spoiled by some random posts on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok or wherever, or I just give in and read it. So I did start, finally. This is something that's Sean's first time hearing about this too, because I've notoriously avoided it. I've avoided everything because I'm so much of a person that prefers, like, if I know I'm watching a movie, I don't want to watch a single trailer. I don't specifically like Marvel type movies, even any movie, because I'm like, I feel like the point of the trailer is to get you interested in the movie. And if I'm already going to watch the movie, all I'm doing is spoiling stuff for myself. So that's kind of how I looked at the manga, where I'm just like, now I know what happens. I'm going through the Moro arc, and I am loving it. I'm not going to lie to you. I was up till very late last night reading it, just enjoying it. I'm loving it. I'm not going to lie. I'm absolutely loving it. But now, so Kurami is happy because now I know what's happening. I'm getting my bucket filled. But then is future me going to be blown when I'm sitting there watching and I know what's going to happen with Moro and I know the stuff with Beerus, right? Like, is that going to mess with me?
I personally don't. I think that one thing about Dragon Ball is even if you read it in the anime, that it's still going to be so fire. Like, the Moro arc is my personal favorite arc right now. And yeah. Even though I read it way more times than I should, I'm still excited for the episode to come out. Because the thing about the Dragon Ball Super anime is that, especially if it's going to be under Toei, is that they always change certain things or even add certain things. So you never really know what they're going to include from the Maul arc or what they're going to, you know, add or take out. So that's why it's like, I would say read it. Because same way I tell people to read the Tournament of Power, the Zamasu arc, because the Zamasu arc had moments in it that wasn't in the anime. So I don't really think, I think you would still be excited because you never really know, like, you know, what they're going to include in the anime.
That's a good point. I think I am going to go back and read some of the stuff I've already watched just to see how it compares. One big thing I was here brought up is how originally switching from Super Saiyan God to Super Saiyan Blue, that was a Vegeta thing he did in the manga. But then in the anime, they switched it and made Goku be the one to do it. And I'm like, man, like, why would they take that from Vegeta's my man?
Introduction to Super Saiyan God against Zamasu, when he used Super Saiyan God and with Zamasu, it was beautiful.
Yeah.
Very beautiful. Vegeta, to me, wears Super Saiyan God like a glove. Like, he is with Super Saiyan God, but Vegeta, just every time he hits it, and he just his the way he looks and the way he just uses the form, I think Super Saiyan God belongs to Vegeta, even though they obviously introduced it to Goku, but I think Vegeta does a better job with it.
I totally agree. He's clean. He's clean with it.
Very clean, yeah.
Sean, go ahead. Mention your character. I know we know who you're gonna say. Go ahead.
Gohan, guys. Gohan. Like, from the beginning of Dragon Ball Z, like, he was this, you know, this little, like, I think he was like six or, like, actually, no, he was four. He was a four-year-old kid, you know, like, he was completely different from Goku. So, like, if for all the people that watched Dragon Ball before, you know, Dragon Ball Z, they're like, oh, who's this kid that doesn't know how to fight? Who's, like, kind of, like, oblivious to the whole, like, action Dragon Ball Z world, you know? And then you find out he has all these hidden abilities and stuff like that. Then he keeps going, and then he almost, honestly, like, remember when he almost, like, soloed Frieza, but then, like, Frieza transformed? Mm-hmm. And then you get to Cell, the Cell Saga, and then he's the one that beats Cell, you know? And then, yeah, like, they kind of, like, torpedoed his character slightly, but still, man, slightly? Like, even... Slightly?
Slightly? You talking about slightly. Great Saiyan, man? Slightly?
Yo, I like the Great Saiyan Man, son. The Great Saiyan Man, I thought that was I thought that part was a vibe, dude. I liked it.
And you know what?
I think Gohan should have been the main character at that point, dog. That's where the story was going. It was progressing that way. And then the, you know, Shonen Jump got scared. And then, you know, we know what happened. But, like, Gohan is such an integral part of the Dragon Ball, like, diaspora, you know what I'm saying? So he has to be on there. He has to.
Diaspora.
I use a big word. I don't know if I use right.
I'm gonna have to Google that after this this year podcast. I'm not gonna lie to you. So diaspora. First off, diaspora. Second off, anger management boy. I don't know. Like, I don't want to agree, but I do. I think he deserves to be in the top five, so I'm going to put my stamp on it, but I don't want to. I think he fell off too hard.
Bulma, what do you think?
I say I want to agree. I do. My thing with Gohan is I just feel like he's, you know how, like, on Broadway they have, like, the main casting role who's going to play the lead and the co-whatever, but then they always have, like, an understudy, you know what I mean, just in case they get sick or something.
Oh, true.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, the thing with Gohan, I always feel like Gohan was always Goku's understudy, like, kind of like a safe to go to Toriyama ends up wanting to, like, kill Goku or he dies of old age or something like that. Gohan is iconic and things like that. But Gohan has had, I think he's had too many off-putting roles as an adult. He didn't really, they didn't really make him be as iconic as he was as a child and even a teen. Well, I don't really like to call him a teen because he wasn't a teen, but or even like as a, you know, a little older than he was in the Saiyan saga. So I want to say, because a lot of people will say Gohan, but Gohan has caught way more hate recently than he has when we were watching him growing up. So I don't really know. I'm kind of conflicted with that one because Gohan is iconic. He is. He introduced Super Saiyan 2. And you know what I mean? Now he has this beast form, but everybody hates the beast form. I don't know. I can't convince people to like it, but I don't know. I guess because he's
beast form is amazing, in my opinion.
Listen, listen. The beast form itself, there's nothing wrong with. It's how he got it, which is what's driving me crazy. Yeah. I hate how he got the beast form. Suddenly, he's on Goku Vegeta level. Like, come on.
He's always had the hidden potential in him.
I don't
They've been
care.
Saying
you're
it since the first episode of Dragon Ball Z.
Tell me, you're not going to tell me he's God level because he's angry. That's insane. Like,
I think it's the problem is that you've introduced Goku and Vegeta to God power. Yeah. So now it's like, because back in the day, like when Gohan turned Super Saiyan 2 and he surpassed his father, or when he turned Mystic and he surpassed his father, it was like, it's kind of doable because, you know, Goku's just Super Saiyan 3. It's not like he's like a god or training with angels.
And yeah.
It's something that logically you can come to terms with because Goku doesn't have a significant power gap that can be surpassable. But when you have these Saiyans now training with one of the strongest god of destruction and an angel who's like multi-level level, it's just... You mean to tell me Gohan can get mad and go bar for bar with Goku, man? So it's just like, that's what it is when it's just like you introduce these characters to such massive amount of power. And then you have other characters. It's like, if they do surpass, it's like, how can they surpass it when they're not even doing the same training as what Goku and Vegeta is doing? So it's kind of like, I get the anger, but I think it's just Toriyama still trying to continue that writing of Gohan still being able to surpass Goku and Vegeta or the top people. Even though he really, it really doesn't make any sense when Goku and Vegeta are training with literal gods. So I get
that. I mean, they just dropped the ball in having him do literally nothing for so long. Like, if they made it like he was training on the side, like for somebody like Android 17, you know, he's also had a massive power spike compared to where he was in the Android saga. But his whole thing is, I've been training this whole time, right? Yeah. So it's a little explainable. But then when you see Gohan, you're just like, you see this dweeb. I got to go to a lecture. I'm going to be late. It's like, dude, shut up. He's going from great Saiyan man to great dorky man to just like an eye roll. And now he's
the power of the mind, my brother. The power of the mind. You know?
They're trying to keep that mind, the heart. Yeah, they're trying to keep that writing of Gohan not needing to train. All of his power comes from his emotions. You know what I mean? Even though now they have him training with Piccolo, which is pretty cool, but it's just like I feel like Toriyama or Toyotaro, whoever is helping with the writing, is just basically trying to keep that same trope of, oh, Gohan get angry and then he just gets this big burst of power. And people are just kind of sick of it at this point because now it's like, okay, now you got him like surpassing gods and being the strongest in the universe. So I totally get it.
So, Sean, we're going to put a pin in it. That's what we're saying.
I get it. Well, I'll defend Gohan.
Do you have another one?
As
you
much
want to
as
throw
I
out?
Can. As much as I can, you know.
Okay. Yeah, I've been sitting here thinking. And I kind of want to say Piccolo.
I was thinking Piccolo, too.
And the only reason why I'm saying Piccolo is because Piccolo was, quite frankly, one of our first introductions to someone who was not Piccolo himself, but you know, his father was the one who introduced us to an outer city level threat, someone who can like level cities if he wanted to, because the other antagonists couldn't do that. Also, Piccolo introduced us to Goku's very first beef rivalry, battling with your rival. He's the first person to kill Goku in the Saiyan saga, training Gohan, just everything that Piccolo has, the journey Piccolo has gave to us, from him going from literal villain to anti-hero, because I still consider him an anti-hero. But you know, I just feel like Piccolo is very iconic in the series. He is in a lot of the fights. He sacrificed himself multiple times. And I don't really think Piccolo ever fell off. You know what I mean? I don't think Piccolo has ever been like a disappointment. I think he's always been he's a very good tactician and he's very intelligent. So I think Piccolo deserves to be in the top five.
I'm going to actually agree with that. I was sitting here thinking about it as well, too. The thing about Piccolo is that he's the clutchest one of all the characters. Because No matter what saga you're in, no matter what's going on, Piccolo is just sitting there cross-legged, angry looking, with one eye open, and then just ready to just do whatever needs to be done. Pick up the slack that Mr. Anger Management Boy Gohan drops from so much of the series. That whole slack is picked up by Piccolo, in my opinion. He's like, Gohan hasn't kept up with his training. Okay, Piccolo's going to do it. And then he recently has that power spike as well, too. And his power spike makes sense. He got to it in kind of a cheaper way in wishing for it from the dragon. But now I can look at that and be like, okay, well, he's super strong, but he did have help from Shenron. I get that. So from a story perspective, it makes much more sense than the Gohan stuff. And I'm also seeing him like now, and it's just like, I agree with that, actually. Approve. Sean?
Okay.
Yeah, I agree with that. You know, Piccolo is, I feel like he's the most dependable person in the series, or Namekian in the series. I'll give it to Piccolo. He's not my favorite, but like he is such an integral part of the series. Can't even deny that. You know, so I feel like that should be the first one that we all agree on. Piccolo. He's in there.
Yeah, that's true. I agree. I think Piccolo is definitely he's iconic. Piccolo is iconic, and I feel like if anybody gets to be as strong as Goku and Vegeta, it should be Piccolo, seeing as though he is fused with someone who is the protector of Earth, or the overseer of Earth, Kami.
Mm-hmm.
He just has so many iconic moments with his battle with Android 17 and him even being the strongest above everybody at one point. So I think Piccolo definitely deserves to be top five character. He's worked hard for it. He still keeps up with his mental training. He still keeps up with his physical training. He's always ready. That's one thing about Piccolo. He's all like, even when you watch the Broly movie, just standing by like, listen, I will help. Even today, he's like, man, I'll help y'all, but I'm probably going to get back to I like when he admits. I love him. One thing I love about Piccolo is he will admit when he's going to get fucked up.
He'll be like,
he ain't got no pride. Like he like, I know I would try to help y'all, but Broly going to drag me too. So I won't be.
it's funny too because he's not just clutch in the fighting sense, but he's also like babysitting and like running errands for people. He's just like the most dependable character in the show by far.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he is very.
Before we pick more characters, I wanted to ask you one more thing. You had kind of a reaction to GT. So are you a GT fan?
I love GT. I've only watched it like maybe twice. My favorite is the Black Star Dragon Ball saga, which is basically everybody's favorite, to be honest. But I love GT. I think it starts off a little slow. It really true. Like those first couple arcs are very boring, but once you get to like Super 17 and the baby arc and the Black Star Dragons, Dragon Balls, it starts to get really good and it starts to get really dark and very just like you don't never know what's going to happen next, especially if you've never watched it before. And I think it just expanded on that whole thought of what happened during that end of Z period. And it was just like that hot little hypothetical of what happened with Oob and things like that. So I'm not like the hugest fan of GT. That's why I don't really make GT content like that. But I respect the series for carrying after Z ended. So
I had a couple issues with it. I mean, what you pointed out is exactly true. The start of it was so frustrating. Like there was nothing more annoying than looking at Pan, look at her short grandfather, be like, Grandpa Gohan, Grandpa Gohan. And then you see little stupid robot, Giru, Giru, Giru. And like, bro, I made it like 17 episodes in. I was like, I'm done. I'm sorry. Like it's over. There was that. Just don't like shows with main characters or like little kids, but now especially when I experienced Goku as an adult, now he's a child again. Now Dragon Ball Daima is something different because now they're all kids.
Mm-hmm.
that's something mm-hmm. that's kind of goofy that I'm like, you know what, this could actually be pretty fire. I'm excited for Daima. But DC, I couldn't. And then the third thing and the most probably important thing is Vegeta's mustache. And that was just unforgivable. I couldn't do it. I saw Vegeta, so I was like, you can't do that to my man.
He did shave it off.
No, he shouldn't have never been there in the first place. It was rude.
You know what? Like, what about the baby saga, dog? The baby saga was very good. You know, it was very entertaining. I liked what they did with Dragon Ball GT. Like, I like it for what it was. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't Akira Toriyama's baby anymore. It was like someone else's baby, and like, you know, it was decent. You know, it was entertaining. Mm-hmm. The baby saga was very cool, but I get the complaints. I get the complaints.
Yeah. It was just like a filler thing. You know what I mean? It was like, you know, back then, like when GT was airing, like nobody was like thinking about like how horrible it was. It was just like we were still watching Dragon Ball Z. You know what I mean? And it was still running. You know what I mean? Yeah. So now that Dragon, you know, GT is over, it's like you can have the option whether or not you want to watch it again. But back then it was pretty much carrying again after Z was you know, officially done airing episodes. So. Damn.
Yeah, no, I feel that. I'm going to suggest one character for the top five, and I don't know if I'm going to put even my stamp on it, but I want to hear your guys' take.
Okay.
Bulma. How do you guys feel about Bulma? Because she is one of the most integral parts of the show, and I don't know if you just didn't want to bring it up because she's obviously like your favorite, or like you just disagree with it, but she in my opinion, she carried a lot of Dragon Ball. She really did. She was so good in Dragon Ball. And then in Dragon Ball Z, she was extremely clutch. And even in Super, she's clutch. She's been just this consistent clutch character. I guess the thing with her is she doesn't have much of an arc, I would argue. She's kind of like the same exact person she was from the start. Maybe she's like a little more good-hearted, a tiny bit because of Goku, but she didn't pull a Vegeta or a Tien or a Piccolo or even like a Gohan or anybody else. So I guess that's my problem. Her character is very flat. But as far as like being a good character, she is great. I think she deserves to be a mention, but I don't even know if I'm going to put my stamp on it.
Okay. So you mentioned something that I was probably going to say as well, which is she doesn't really have like a dedicated arc to herself. Like she's more like a support character. I love Bulma because of how innovative and very powerful she is and very intellectual. Like I'm glad they didn't make her like this dumb woman who didn't know. Like she's actually very intelligent. The problem is that she's always been just an assist. She's always just been like a support character that. Mm-hmm. Where the main characters needed something and she was just there to help. Like there's things she's invented that obviously if she didn't do it, a lot of the characters would still be dead by now. You know what I mean? Like radar, the time machine.
Yeah.
You know, even helping with Android 16 during the Cell saga. It's just like she's done so much to help the Z Fighters, but she doesn't really get the recognition she wants because she is like this one flat character that just you only see her when she's needed. She doesn't have like a dedicated arc or a lore behind her, even though she is one of the original characters of the series. So yeah,
they kind of did her dirty from a story perspective, but that's Dragon Ball for you, in my opinion. Like I will say, I do enjoy Naruto overall more than Dragon Ball. Mm-hmm. Although I'm a huge, I still have it as my number two all time. But I think the reason Naruto for me surpassed it is because, like, I always make this conversation on the podcast, but, like, I would say that, like, Naruto's, like, 10th most developed character has more developments than Dragon Ball's, like, third or, like, maybe even second, right? Because they really go above and beyond to do that. And it's characters like Bulma where if they did get the Naruto treatment and you saw maybe more of her past, more of her reasonings behind doing things, more of the side pieces, like, it would make more sense mm-hmm. about, like, why she's doing what she does. But she's kind of just, like, the same exact person, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But I also think, you know, Dragon Ball, like, in his defense, it's not that type of show. You know what I'm saying? It's just kind of like what you see is what you get. Even though like there are some things that you can like read between the lines and there are some like nuances and things. I do agree with you guys. I think that Bulma, like I think we should put our stamp on it. Bulma should be one of the characters.
I don't know if I'm going to put my stamp on it. I'm still a question.
Because that's a character. It's like you think about Dragon Ball, you think about Goku and Bulma, then you think about Goku and Vegeta in Dragon Ball Z. I think she's just a character that's like, it. You have to think about her when you think about some of the things that happened in the whole series. So I'm going to give it to her.
Okay.
What about you, Bulma? Is your stamp on it? I don't know if my stamp is, to be honest. I'm leaning towards a no, but a maybe.
I think I am going to put a stamp on Bulma, because even though because Sean did point out something where Dragon Ball isn't really that type of anime to go like in depth.
Yeah.
Character's history, like you pretty much get what you get. You know, they're not going to do like a deep and backstory analysis. Like we barely even know what the hell Vegeta was doing with Raditz and Nappa before he came. And we saw one brief moment in Dragon Ball Super where they were kids and they were rampaging some world, and that was it. So
on hair for some reason too, I think.
Yeah, like you know what I mean. So it's like I don't think Dragon Ball is that type of anime that will ever get like that in-depth backstory about Bulma, and she is very impactful, even though she is kind of a side character. But yeah, I'll give it approval.
Okay, all right. So I think we did pick enough characters. So now should we rank them?
Well, I was going to ask you, Sean, because we all gave two. We all gave two. Do you want to give one more, two? And then we do that? Yeah.
All right, bet. Okay. All right, I'm going to say this character, and I don't even believe it, but like, I'm just going to say it anyway. Krillin.
No. Moving on. Kidding.
You know what? I don't know. I'm actually thinking about it. I don't know. I'm thinking about it. Krillin is iconic. Yeah.
He's not the best character, but if we're talking about objectively iconic in Dragon Ball, though, you got to add Krillin in there. That's Goku's best friend. Fran,
just iconic. We're trying to put a combo of it. It's a combination of iconic and like how good of a character they are and how integral they are to the story. Like I feel like that's stuff we should all use as our factors to say like, okay, objectively these are probably the top five in the series.
Okay.
I'm gonna say he's just, you know what, he's a wimp. He also named his daughter after his ex, and he's a psychopath for that reason.
True. Yeah, that was crazy.
Did they explain it too? It was just like some weird thing that he did.
No, there's no lore behind it.
Like it's just like that. Was Akira Toriyama like, this would be funny, and then just did it and never talked about it.
The stir the pot a little bit.
I mean, was Marin ever in the? I only remember her in the Garlic Jr. saga.
No, she had a couple moments when she was like challenging Bulma, flirting with Yamcha.
Now I think you.
Yeah,
disrespecting Chi Chi, calling her an old woman.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
So I'm gonna say no to Krillin.
I'm gonna say no as well, only because while Krillin is iconic, he's not really integral to the story. I feel like he
true.
He hasn't really done a lot of things like that you really need him. He's just like, I feel like every anime needs this cowardice character that's always scared to do everything. And I feel like Krillin is that in that role, just always scared to do it. I feel like he's not really needed, but he is needed for that scaredy cat role that a lot of shonen need. So yeah, I don't really think he's a top fiver.
That's a good point. And I never really considered him to be that character archetype. And I don't know why, because he definitely is that exact what you're describing. And I think, like, I wish more anime would make that character like Krillin, because there's some other ones I just can't stand in other shows where they're so wimpy and annoying. I just want to bash my head against the table. But Krillin does it very well. He does it in a way where, like, he's not annoying. He's not over the top. And, like, his fears make sense, too. You know, I get it.
Yeah, I mean, his fears are definitely, like, if you are a normal person who was in his position and someone like Frieza came, like, yeah, you know.
Yeah. No, thank you.
Fearful, yeah.
No, thank you, brother.
But he's still, the thing about Krillin is he still tried to fight. That's one thing I do respect about Krillin. And even though he always be wanting to coward out, he will do what he got to do. So, yeah. But not a top fiver for me. Yeah. No,
not standard. A top five. Okay. Is there any other character that you want to bring into the mix before we start ranking? Anybody we missed?
The only
I really do feel like you're the expert here, so I'm giving you some leeway.
Oh, you're good. John and Michelle didn't really miss out on, because we already said the main ones. I truly, truly want to say Cell. But the only reason why, I don't know, I want to say Cell only because of like Cell with the tournament, like him making his own tournament and just him just wait, letting the Z Fighters fight. I mean, you know, waiting for the Z Fighters.
Yeah,
and just the aura that he brought to, you know, the intensity of, and then he also brought about like different, well, aside from Frieza, just like having like different types of things. I don't know. I want to say he's a top five only because I think I'm biased. I love the Cell Saga, so I think that's just my biasness talking.
That might be, not gonna lie to you, but this might change your opinion a little bit. Sean, can you show her your Cell impression?
Oh my god, you have a Cell person? I need to hear this.
I'm Cell. A Cell of Games.
Every time.
Oh my god.
Every time I bring up Cell.
Go on.
And I'm just
it gets
like,
worse each time I do it.
So I'll literally bring up Cell and I'll be talking about him and then Sean will just go, fight me, Gohan. I'm like, what?
Fight me, Gohan.
Bad.
Yeah, that was not that bad. It's not that bad. I promise. It's really not that bad.
It's see, look,
I've
look
seen,
at that.
I've heard worse.
It's not that bad. It's not that bad.
although I have been turned on the Cell Saga a little bit, I went from hating it to realizing like kind of how unimpressive the Buu Saga was, and being like, okay, the Cell Saga was a lot better than the Buu Saga. Mm-hmm. I'm not the biggest fan of Cell particularly because, like, I don't think it was like when I compare somebody like him and Frieza, you know what I'm saying? I feel like Frieza is like leaps and bounds above Cell for just like in every category. So that's why it's like kind of tough for me to be like, you didn't live up to the last villain, although you were able to execute the main character. But I don't know. I don't know. And I also liked his, I thought his earlier transformations were scarier than his like perfect one. Like, remember when he was like a praying mantis walking around, like sucking everybody up?
Yeah,
it was scary. It was scary. Sean, how you feel about Cell?
So, if you would have asked me this, you know, a few months ago, even a few months ago, I would have said, you guys are crazy for even including Cell in this, any like top, whatever, unless he's like top worst villain or something.
Mm-hmm.
But. You know what, dude? Like, Cell has been... Okay, look. He was in one of the most iconic fights in Dragon Ball Z. My favorite one. Gohan versus Cell. And I used to always be like, I like that fight because of Gohan, not Cell. But then he's like... He was a good enough villain and a good enough foil for everyone to literally be... Like, honestly, it was... Cell was one of the most scariest villains they had.
Mm-hmm.
Granted, it wasn't his perfect version, but... I see some merit in Cell, which Kevin's like, dude, does not sound like you, Sean.
It's funny.
I've been thinking about this for a while, and Cell, I'm going to give Cell his flowers finally.
I think what happened was Sean got bullied enough to start liking Cell. We posted a TikTok one time.
Mm-hmm.
The point of the TikTok wasn't even that Cell is bad. I don't know what happened. It was like a 30-second TikTok, and for like 2 seconds of it, yeah, Sean's like, yeah, Cell is like dog shit. It's like an offhanded comment. That video had so much comments, so much hate, and it actually got reported, and we got like a violation against our TikTok because people were so angry that bros never watched Dragon Ball. Like a skull emoji, bro. Like, I don't know, it was bad. So Sean, my man took a lot of flack for that video.
I took a lot.
He's been introspecting since then.
No,
I've been thinking about it a lot since those TikToks. So they're very mean, son. Comments were very mean. This one guy was like, oh, well, he's just dumb. And then I was like, yo, like, it was just an opinion.
They don't care. They young and they behind keyboards, so they don't care. They cuss me out all the time, so
Yeah.
But you know what? It kind of works out because more clicks, more views, right? Like, it's okay. I don't mind.
I just learn not to read the comments sometimes because it can get a little bit brutal, to be honest. So yeah.
And especially like when videos get very popular, there's just too many to keep up with. Mm-hmm. And you start to only see kind of like the top ones. Okay, I think we have enough characters. So it sounds like we're agreeable on three. No doubt we have Goku, Vegeta, and Piccolo. Mm-hmm. For spot number four and five, but for like, you know, who we're going to include in there. We have Trunks, Gohan, Cell. Is there anything else? I don't think we're seriously considering Krillin. Oh, yeah, and Frieza. There we go. Mm-hmm.
And Frieza.
The rest we're really considering.
You want me to pick my two? So,
yeah.
I said Gohan, Vegeta, and Piccolo. And then the two that I'm going to pick is Future Trunks and Frieza.
Wait, you don't got Goku in your top five?
No, I did. I said Goku, Vegeta.
Oh, I thought you said Gohan. My bad.
Yeah, Goku, Vegeta, and Piccolo. I mean, yeah, Goku, Vegeta, Piccolo. And then I said Frieza and Future Trunks. No, Frieza and Gohan. I'm sorry. I was then thinking. Yeah. Gohan, Frieza. So my top five would be Goku, Vegeta, Piccolo, Gohan, Frieza.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, what about you, Kevin? What's your top?
I was hoping you would go first, so I'd have another half second to think, Sean. Do you have your top?
I do have my top. Okay. Of course, Goku, Vegeta, Gohan, number three is Gohan, Piccolo. I don't want to do this, but Frieza. You know what I'm saying?
So you have the same. You guys have the same top five.
Same one, except for Gohan is number three for me instead of Piccolo.
Well, I didn't think we were ranking it. I thought we were just picking the five, and then once we were agreeable on the five, then we could rank it. So mine out of order.
That's fine.
That's fine.
We can do that. Yeah.
Mine, I got Goku, Vegeta, Frieza. My number five, like I honestly want to put Bulma above Gohan. I'm not gonna lie to you guys, but or Trunks. But you guys are probably right. I'm just a hater. I'll give it to Gohan. I will be agreeable for this, but I'm not happy about it. I don't think he deserves this spot.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? I think he's just kind of because you said it earlier, but he's had too much downtime in the show. And I think that's hurt him a lot. And then even now, he's catching a lot of flack as well, too. So I'm just like, his character is so controversial. But maybe that's a good thing, right? It gets people talking about the show.
It gets people going, you know?
People going. Thank you. Thank you. It's like that Jay-Z song. do you guys have Goku as number one, then?
I do. I'm biased. Goku always going to be number one for me. So,
I say if we're thinking objectively, Goku number one.
I would put Vegeta over Goku.
Are you serious?
I would. Yeah, he's just had a bigger arc. He's still developing. Like, that's the thing. Goku's
still developing.
He's developing his fighting, but his personality and his character has been flat. I have to admit, he's been the same goofy, fun, fight-loving kid.
I'm going to think objectively, then. I guess that's what we're supposed to do.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, from the first second we saw him until what's going on right now in the manga, he hasn't really shifted his character much. He hasn't shifted his morals.
Not really much you can change. He's a good guy. Vegeta has that's what Vegeta has over him. That going from a villain to a hero, have like the best character development.
I would think of somebody like Naruto, for example. He was also always a good guy, but he went from some like angry little kid and like, you know, rushing into battles to growing up and maturing and understanding, hey, don't do this, don't do that. I mean, I guess you could make the argument that Goku wasn't a piece of crap to begin with, so he didn't have much to fix. But yeah, it's a good point. So I hear you there.
I will say if we will put Vegeta at number one, I understand because a lot of people love Vegeta's character development opposed to Goku always, you know, being the hero and always, you know, being the person to finish things. So I will say Vegeta is probably more popular, more liked by the fans, and you know, a lot of people want Vegeta to do more things, and people want Goku too. So I, if we had to, I can put a stamp of putting Vegeta at number one.
Vegeta one. Sean, how do you feel?
I think Goku number one. If we're thinking objectively, I can't put my stamp on Vegeta first. You know what I'm saying? Even though I agree that he has the best character development in the whole show, like, you think of Dragon Ball, you think of Goku. We're not
saying the most popular. I don't know. I kind of disagree with that, because now people, when people think of Dragon Ball, they think of Vegeta too. If I can talk from a content point of view, I will say my posts that hype up Vegeta and talk about Vegeta, like, if you look on my Instagram and see, I made a fake Vegeta poster, and I think that thing is sitting at like 300,000 likes currently. I don't even know how many likes it has right currently. Like, I literally just, I was like, one day I was like, how would people feel if we did a movie on Vegeta's like childhood or something? I did.
Vegeta's past.
That's probably the biggest post I've ever made in my entire life, and it went viral. And none of my posts about Goku, I do have one about Goku's iconic moments, but it didn't go as crazy as the one for Vegeta. So I don't know. I think you will always think about Goku when it comes to Dragon Ball, but Vegeta, I believe, is just as iconic, if not even more iconic, because people love Vegeta. So,
Sean, you got to think of it like this, and pulling it back to Naruto again, you had trouble accepting that Itachi was much more popular than Sasuke. I think this is another one of those scenarios where
that's true. All right, I'm okay with it, because I love Vegeta, so Vegeta number one.
But no, okay. I get what you're saying. I do get what you're saying, though, because I already put Goku at number one, but it's like, I don't know. It's like they're both fighting for that number one spot, depending on how you view it, you know. So I don't know.
Yeah. And I wonder if, and it might already be there in the manga, but if Vegeta ever does like truly surpass him. Because the last we got in the anime was he won the fight, technically. But
I'm not going to say nothing, because you say you're reading, so I ain't going to say nothing.
I'm hyped. All right, so Goku at number two, obviously. Number three, it sounds like Sean wants to put Gohan.
Yeah.
You know what? I actually will agree with Gohan with number three.
Yeah.
I agree. Yeah, Gohan does have very significant, impactful arcs. He's very integral to the story, and I think he is iconic. So he does fit the three categories. So, I will put him at number three.
Nah, I guess four and five is between Piccolo and Frieza, right?
Yeah, I think Piccolo should be number four, but I can hear arguments about Frieza at number four.
I think that Frieza should be number four, only because he's a very iconic villain. I think it's like, when you think about, I just keep in my mind thinking about, you know, when you think of Dragon, like, you think about Goku versus Frieza. Like, a lot of people who hasn't even watched Z or Super, everyone knows Goku versus Frieza. And plus, Frieza is a very reoccurring character who's been very impactful in a lot of arcs. So, I don't know. And even though I love Piccolo to death, it's just like, Piccolo has now shifted from main character to side character. And even though he does have he's now more important. But during these other arcs outside of like early Z, he's just been more of a side character, like stalling Boo and being scared of Shin. You know what I mean? It's like more of a babysitter type of deal. So I think Frieza is a little bit more iconic than Piccolo.
Yeah, I totally agree. And especially since they brought Frieza back and he fought with the good guys too, like, it brought him a whole nother dimension to his character. And especially the scene where he actually saves Goku like a number of times and saves the other fighters and then sacrifices himself. And I'm just like, that is also like character development now. Again, Frieza is something where I've got stuff spoiled for me about, and I can't wait to see what that's all about. But it sounds like he's going to be, you know, like a humongous part of the show. Sean, I feel bad. I feel like we're just making Sean change up his whole
thing. I don't want to be influential when you're just...
You know what? Like, I made my list, you know what I'm saying? I already told you guys, like, out of, like, the characters who I would pick. So I'm okay with flip-flopping a little bit. So I just need Gohan up there at least. You know what I'm saying? I'm
good. You got your Gohan at number three. That's huge.
I got go.
That's a that's a fat dog.
You got a W. Number three.
That's a W to me, man.
Yeah.
All right,
cool. So we got that. And then Piccolo at five.
Yep. Mm-hmm. That sounds good to me.
I like this. Like, I feel like if we put this out there, people would agree. I think Piccolo might be the one that would receive the most flack, and potentially Frieza, actually.
I think people might debate the whole Goku and Vegeta thing like we did.
Oh, having Vegeta at number one, for sure. I even forgot that we did that. That too. Oh.
People probably don't look at me because I always put Goku at number one, but I'm thinking unbiasedly. So.
And I hope I didn't, you know, push that too hard as well too, because I think ultimately Goku is the main character, and you guys do also have a point. I just think Vegeta is the better character, and that's why so many people flock to him. If Goku was as popular as Vegeta, I might have like a different opinion, but kind of like what you said, every time we talk about Vegeta and stuff, I see those posts like just skyrocketing versus Goku. It's just they kind of
are hoping for things. For Goku has already done things. People are hoping for things for Vegeta. So he still is this character that still gets built up, and we still wish for moments for him. Like with Goku, he's already beaten the main antagonist, and he's already done these iconic moments and had these great transformations and stuff like that. Well, Vegeta's like, he's always like that person who always gets done dirty or things like that. That's what I was like. So he's like the underdog a little bit, even though Goku is technically an underdog as well, but Vegeta always like gets kind of, you know, backhanded a little bit. So
you're so right.
Want him to win more. So
I never thought of him like an underdog too, but that's actually so accurate. You've changed my look on a couple of characters this episode. I'm really like happy you were able to join us and do this.
I'll be trying to tell people. Analyzing this stuff.
Yeah, because you've changed my perspective on Krillin and Vegeta, to be honest, because I never really considered Vegeta like an underdog, but that's exactly what he is. He's such an underdog. Yeah. He really is. Yeah. Wow, cool. Well, I know I said this would be around. We went a little over what we planned for, but I enjoyed the conversation. Hopefully, you enjoyed jumping on with us. And, you know, obviously, thank you so much for taking time. You want to tell the people from the Shonen Tapes where they can find you?
Of course. So I am Black Bulma everywhere. Same spelling, no dashes, no spaces. I'm on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, TikTok. And I also have my own website, which is where I post updates on the series. I give my because, you know, it's only so much I can write on Instagram. Launch a website and basically write articles about my thoughts and specifics, and even breaking down certain things. Like I did a lot of research and broke down the timelines of Trunks, and I talked about Goku's I was about to say something.
Uh-oh. I'm going to hit you up in a month when I'm finished. Where you're reading
That's cool. But I just kind of break down and give my thoughts on a lot of the things that happen. So, you can find me. It's literally blackbulma.com if you just want to put that in the search bar. It's so easy. So, I'm pretty much everywhere. You know what I mean? Like, you probably see my memes everywhere, content, videos everywhere. So, I'm not really that hard to find, to be honest. So,
Tapeworms, do yourselves a favor. Check her out, especially if you are into Dragon Ball. I can't emphasize enough how good her Instagram is. Like, I'm just scrolling through it here as I'm talking about it. Very well done content. Very, informative and just very entertaining overall. If this is your first time watching the Shonen Tapes and you're coming over from Black Bulma's crew, consider subscribing, whether that's on YouTube. You can also find us on Spotify, Apple Music, wherever you listen to podcasts. We're very consistent, posting once a week. With that being said, Sean, do you have any parting words for the Tapeworms?
Fight me, Gohan.
Good night.
Good night, guys.
All right, cool. And I'll